morning, Uncut. Bill Hux, Will Wilson. Thanks for hanging out with us on a beautiful Tuesday. I know it is a little bit from where I am. I hear the temperature is going to be a little heated up in Lincoln today. And if you guys are out and about, please take care of yourselves. You don't need to go outside. It sounds like stay inside. Cold towels, lots of water, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's going to be hot, especially tomorrow. That's for sure. Tomorrow they're saying big numbers. Yep, nothing new.
Ah, boy, I'm just trying to look up. Now I'm kind of checking the weather of what we're going to be up against when we rock the celebrity softball game coming up.
Yes, sir. Hopefully the weather cools off a bit there. Drinking beer out in the heat isn't always an easy thing.
I'm looking right now. Oh, Will, man, we got like a little 81-degree day.
Okay, sweet. Like. Sweet.
No chance of rain. Might be a little front coming through. Going to cool it down come Friday. Yeah, it looks like you guys are battling 97s, 98s, 95s, and Friday it breaks. It gets in the 80s.
Okay. Hey, I was confused about something earlier. I was mentioning something about the Salt Dogs tickets, and I said how that's not a ticket for Beer Fest. So if you have a Salt Dogs ticket, just a Salt Dogs ticket, that doesn't get you into Beer Fest. But if you have a Beer Fest ticket, that gets you into the Salt Dogs game.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Brandon Mowry helped me out. And so it looks like he's going to be coming down on Saturday, which is great. Yeah, we want to see everyone out there. Come down, grab a beer, grab a hot dog, watch us play, enjoy some beer, then watch the Salt Dogs play.
Yeah, for sure, man. If you guys are out there, feel free to heckle as much as you like. Then to come say hi afterwards. I know we're going to hang out for a while afterwards. My whole fam's going to be coming down. So
Thew's going to be there.
Thew will be in the house.
Oh my! He's going to be in the house. He is going to be off the wall. He loves this crap. He loves it.
He's been trying to be a part of us for a long time in this thing. So this might be, if we end up winning this thing, this will be as close to him as winning like a state championship for him.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe some people would tell him to calm down, you know, be real, but yeah, we'll let him do what he wants.
He gets emotional with this stuff.
He does. He loves softball.
He gets a little emotional.
It's a weird look, but whatever.
You know, he gets a little emotional on it, so I can't blame him. So let's rock it, Will. What's trending at 10?
Denzel will be cut at the start of the year.
Do you think that Kyrie is worth all of this drama?
New fallout from the Astros cheating scandal, with some Astros players taking heat for how they're apologizing for the cheating. Oh, what's going on?
Here's what's trending at 10. Okay, Hooks, it's official. Aaron Rodgers is back at Green Bay. They made him a deal yesterday, and he accepted it. It does not keep him in Green Bay after this season. But nonetheless, Hooks, Aaron Rodgers is back in Green Bay for this season.
I'm not surprised. I'm surprised, not surprised. Ended up coming down to it is that, you know, he did what he had to do. Like you said, I think he found himself while he was out there. Maybe he got mentally right to return to Green Bay. And when the deal gets announced, I think you're going to see that. I have not seen the deal yet, but one's going to assume that he got exactly what he wanted. That was the way he was returning, and the fact that it was only going to be a one-year kind of deal going on, and he'll be playing that game for a long time now. But you'll find out that this was the deal, that Green Bay had to have him, and they gave Aaron what Aaron wanted.
Sure. Hey, speaking of people who, you know, got paid, we know that the Cleveland Indians have changed their name to the Cleveland Guardians.
Yep.
Well, in Cleveland, there is a roller derby team. There's a men's roller derby team, and they've actually had the name Cleveland Guardians for about 7 years now. Okay. And they own the rights to the name. They own the web domain, clevelandguardians.com. It's like, did the Cleveland Indians even look if their name was taken or not?
There's no research done? What were they thinking?
I don't know, Hooks, but this... this roller derby team with only 203 followers on Instagram is about to get a nice paycheck.
Yep. You got to pay attention to that stuff when you're about to do it.
Oh, by the way, there's two women on the team. Excuse me. So it's a co-ed roller derby team. My bad.
Heck yeah, let's go.
Hooks, we had a big trade go down in the NBA yesterday. And we saw Memphis. They sent Jonas Valanciunas, number 17 pick and the number 51 pick in this year's draft to New Orleans. Memphis is getting Eric Bledsoe, Steve Adams, along with the 10th and 40th pick in this year's draft.
Huh, that's interesting. It sounds like when you look at those, it's the players aren't the big ones, it's the picks. It's maybe somewhere getting picks and trying to get up in the draft and something like that. So that'll be interesting to see what they do with the picks and which team got them. Because when you look at it, I also just read this, that when you look at that number one pick, it's the report is that Detroit is not 100% sold on Cade Cunningham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I believe in that. I think that's something that like the teams just kind of have to say. And I no doubt about it, whoever's picking one is going to take Cade. But I just feel like that's something they have to say, you know?
Yeah, I guess. It's interesting. It is interesting. But when you look at that trade, you talk about it. The biggest part, I get, like I said, it lies within the draft picks. Memphis moving up to 10 in a draft class. This draft class is pretty exciting when you start looking at it. But Memphis moves up to 10 within that one when you look at it. New Orleans, you look at it, they got off Adams and Bledsoe's hefty contracts. Those contracts were huge, by the way, 34.9 and 37.4 within there. And so they brought in some fits to go along with Zion in that deal. So a lot of that was a money-driven thing in that side.
Yeah, definitely. You get rid of Bledsoe and Adams, who were eating up most of your cap space. So that's a pretty good trade, I think, on the Pelicans' part. Also, mm-hmm. I saw Bledsoe probably isn't going to be staying in Memphis. He's probably going to get bought out. Moving on to some MLB stuff. Actually, I got one more NBA piece here. Looking at Kyle Lowry, of course, he's going to be a free agent. And, you know, the Lakers, I'm reading that they're going to be in on him. So is the Heat and Pelicans as well. But if you're the Lakers, Hooks, who are you really trying to get? Obviously, they need guard help. I saw that they were maybe planning on bringing back Dennis Schroeder, even though he's wanting a lot of money.
So he wants a lot of money, but they need major guard help.
Well, I mean, what do you do? Do you bring back Schroeder? Do you trade for Buddy Hield in Sacramento, which they're talking about, or do you do the sign-and-trade with Russell Westbrook in Washington? Because I know that's been reported as an option.
Yeah, there's a lot of that you can look at. I'm not quite sure. I mean, obviously the star power name would be if you do a sign-and-trade and get Russell Westbrook would be one. But I really believe this now that it's kind of started to come out a little bit that they're going to be watching a lot of what Chris Paul does. Whatever Chris Paul decides is then the Lakers stuff will go in motion. Because if so, for some crazy reason, which I think it's still crazy, if Paul opts out, that'll tell you a lot about where LA's thoughts are going to be.
That's a great point. Yeah, I think it all matters because you're right. If Paul opts out, he's definitely going to LA, that's for sure.
He's going to be a Laker.
Also, DeMar DeRozan, he in an interview yesterday, he was basically saying he wants to join a team and win a title, which, in other words, he wants to join a super team.
He's like, hello, anybody out there that has a chance, if you have the top five odds, I am listening.
I love it. Hey, some baseball talk. So we haven't really got an update on Trevor Bauer's, sexual assault allegation case. But mm-hmm. we did get a report that a lot of the players on the Dodgers wouldn't mind if he never came back. The reports are saying, go ahead.
I was just reading that, Will, and this is crazy. Obviously, the situation is bad. And you don't want yourself ever associated with anything like that, what's going on. But it said, and this said, two people with knowledge of Dodgers clubhouse dynamics who are unauthorized to speak publicly about the situation said a majority of players do not want Bauer back in under any circumstances.
Yeah, so even if he's found like totally not guilty, they still don't want him back, is what I'm hearing. And it makes sense. I mean, I don't think Bauer is widely liked around the MLB. He's not widely liked around sports Twitter, so I'm not shocked about this. But he's a good pitcher. I'm surprised they don't want him back for that reason.
Whew, boy, that's something else. Wow.
Yeah. Moving on, let's get into a little Olympics. We saw Team USA lose the other day to France, and I think they have a game today, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe they play. Is it Iran they play, I believe?
You're right. It's Iran today.
40 point underdog, you said?
40 point underdogs, but it seems like that's gotten to a point where that doesn't matter because the Team USA has already lost three times. And maybe it's because of Greg Popovich. There's a report out saying that Team USA players are frustrated with Popovich's running the San Antonio offense type thing. That's what players are saying, apparently, about Pop's coaching style. Yeah.
That's too bad to hear that, because Pop's a really good coach. He's one of the best to ever do it. I think this team kind of goes back to when you look at what people say about the Ryder Cup teams, the way, you know, the U.S. Ryder Cup, and then the statement was made, they're superior individually, but they're not as a team. You see that right now. Obviously, when you look at the athletes that are in the NBA, the athletes that are on that team, individually, there's nothing better. But as a team, you can't make it. They're not making it happen.
Right.
I don't expect them to lose today, though. I expect them to have a bounce back and win by a lot.
All right. There you go. I hope it happens. By the way, looking at the medal count right now, U.S. is leading the total medal count at 25. China, I believe, is in second place with 21. And looking at the golds, we are tied with China in second place at 9 golds. Japan in first place with 10 golds. And, of course, we probably would have got a gold this morning if Simone Biles didn't, unfortunately, pull out of the team final last second. And, you know, many were saying, is she hurt? What's the deal? Well, apparently it's a mental issue is what they're saying. So, yeah, Hooks, Simone didn't compete this morning, and the U.S. took gold silver in that event.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I know that she's been she tried that vault. It didn't go well and looked like it. Maybe she had hurt herself. But also, by the way, if you didn't see after that, she returned to the floor and cheered her teammates on. That's a true champion, a true teammate to do that at her level. I mean, mad respect for that. But all the speculation and stuff that she is the best at, but the stuff that she does, nobody else has a chance to do. And the way that she has been the points given and scored has been incredible because they don't know how to do it with the stuff that she does. Mentally struggling with a lot of that stuff. But silver, we'll take, you know what? It's not what you wanted. You got silver. Things happen. You did medal, and you continue on.
One of the most exciting events from last night was the swimming. And, of course, it was the women's 100-meter breaststroke final. And Lydia Jacoby, the American from Alaska, upset everyone in the pool and took home the gold. You saw the reactions back home from everybody. It was just great to see. And now, Hooks, I got a stat for you, and this is from Darren Ravel on Twitter. He said there's only one swimming pool per 73,856 people in Alaska. Alaska is dead last in the U.S. in swimming pools per square mile. It's amazing. And I think about how the U.S. is so good in swimming, how we've been dominant in that for the past, 20 years. Everybody has a swimming pool. It just matters on who wants to work the hardest, and that's amazing to see.
Yeah, this is just amazing stuff. For me, this is what the Olympics is all about, man. And to watch, if you haven't had a chance, we'll get the video up, because there's one that the actual Tokyo Olympics Twitter handle put up. And it is so awesome. You get to see her high school. If you haven't seen the high school's reaction, it's just incredible. And it has her race stacked on top of the post. So you see it live with the reaction, the cheering from the high school to her winning it. And obviously no fans. And you get to see her parents who were down in Orlando having their watch party with a gathering. It's just, that was an electric moment, man. It's an electric moment to see. And there's a lot of young ones. I watched a ton of Olympics. I'm a huge fan. There was an interview with Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps was on last night, and he talked about where USA Swimming is everywhere. And the youth movement that is happening right now is incredible. Well, I watched another, I think it was the medley, maybe the 200-meter medley, and there were two youngsters who were like 18 and 19 that qualified 1 and 3. For the finals tonight. You have the 7-year-old who wins it. USA Swimming is in a great spot right now to continue their dominance.
I couldn't agree more. You mentioned, young athletes. She's 17. The two youngest athletes in this year's Olympics are from the countries of Syria and Japan. And get this, Hooks, they're both 12.
Wasn't there also didn't we have, was it us? The 13-year-old for us won the skateboarding gold medal.
It's a good question. I didn't see that. I know one of these 12-year-olds is a skateboarder on Japan's
team. Maybe it was some other country. I just saw that one. Some 12, I thought it was 13-year-old, won a gold medal.
Yeah, that's wow. Amazing.
That's so awesome. Last night, if you didn't also catch it, I watched it. I was up late watching your USA women's volleyball team sweep China last night in an epic battle. And it's fun to watch it. You have to get a chance to watch it. First of all, it's a USA. It's volleyball. It's women's volleyball, which for us locally, it's a dynamic sport. But it's three Huskers. There's three Huskers on that team. Jordan Larson, Olerantis, and Kelsey Robinson. Olerantis was all over the place last night digging balls. It was absolutely incredible to watch.
Love it. So U.S. moves on in that. And a lot more events coming up today, of course. I love it. Let's just talk Olympics every day if you're cool with that.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Also in Olympics, if you're wondering, USA soccer, women's soccer, advanced to the quarterfinals. They did advance despite only winning once in the group. They tied, or it's a draw, 0-0 against Australia. But they will be in the quarterfinals.
And we saw that the softball team lost this morning.
Yeah, they unfortunately dropped. They were dynamic. We watched a few of those games. Ended up losing 2-0 to Japan in the gold medal game. They will take home the silver.
Yep.
Also, you've got to have, boy, Olympic golf starts today as well. Some of the groupings that you'll look at, there's just so much
fun. Is it today? Is it today?
Is it today or tomorrow? Well, I know they put out the pairings.
I thought it said tomorrow at like 5:30.
It might be. It might be. But here are the pairings. Let's see some good ones. Justin Thomas will be grouped with Neiman and Paul Casey. Morikawa has an awesome group. Morikawa will be with McIlroy and M. And then the last group out there, the ones they posted, Reed, Fleetwood, Shane Lowry.
Dude, I would not be surprised if M or who, there's another well-known golfer for South Korea playing. I'm trying to remember. Is it Siwoo? Oh, it's Siwoo and Sung J.M. Yep, that's right. Siwoo Kim and Sung J.M. Remember, we had that story like a month ago. If they don't medal, they have to enlist in like the mandatory military service.
That's
so
right.
Not to mention they're playing in their home, native area. Don't be surprised if one of them medal. I'm saying it right now.
That would be fun.
Moving on, I got a few more left here, Hooks, and then we can get to Brian Munson with HuskerOnline.com. Do you remember the name Tate Martell at all?
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you don't remember him because it's been so long since his name, came onto the scene.
2014 is when it came on the scene?
I'm seeing 2012.
Well, 2012 was when he was recruited, but I think he was like was he a sophomore or junior in high school or something at that time?
Probably, yep. And if you're unfamiliar with who Tate Martell is, basically he's a quarterback who first committed to Washington back in 2012. And listen to this timeline of where we are today of Tate Martell. 2012, commits to Washington. 2015, decommits from Washington. August 20th, 2015, commits to Texas A&M. May 4th, 2016, decommits from Texas A&M. June 12th, 2016, commits to Ohio State. 2017, signs with Ohio State. August of 2017, is announced that he's the third string on the roster. June 15th, 2018, he's named Haskins' backup quarterback. And December 30th, 2018, he declares he'll be Ohio State's starting quarterback in 2019. But in January 10th, 2019, he entered the transfer portal. And January 15th in 2019, he transferred to Miami. On August 12th in that year, he lost the quarterback battle. And then in 3 days later, he was converted to wide receiver. About a month later, he was moved back to quarterback. September 18th, 2020, he opted out of the COVID season. January 14th, 2021, he reportedly intends to return to Miami. And January 27th of this year, he entered the transfer portal again. And July 25th, just a few days ago, he announced that he is transferring to UNLV with 2 years of eligibility remaining.
My goodness.
It took me three minutes.
3 minutes to figure out where this kid has been, the situations, and where he's at now.
Is there anything wrong with that, Hooks?
Yes, there's a lot wrong with that, man. I mean, look at some of the timelines you talked about within there when you said the fact that, what was he? He was named the backup, right?
Yep.
Then how many days after did he take off?
He was named the backup, and then, let's see, it was it was at least a few months. Are you talking about Ohio State?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, June 15th, he was named Haskins' backup for 2018. And then December 30th, he announced, well,
it's just like,
he was announced the starter even after that. It's so weird, man.
Yeah. Move on. Time to go.
But we'll see how he does at UNLV. I guess his shot at playing in the NFL is still alive. Last thing I got, Hooks, last thing, and this happened last night, Jorge Soler for the Royals has had a just terrible season. He's batting 183 heading into Sunday, okay? And Sunday night, he had two home runs, okay, which is cool, and I think that was his fourth in five games. So, you know, you could say he's kind of feeling it. And then last night, Hooks, he hit two home runs again. So
let's go.
It was he had back-to-back multi-homer games. Funny enough, it's not even the first time that happened on the Royals this year. Salvi did that earlier in the season. What's more impressive is he's the first player in the modern era to have a sub-200 batting average with at least 200 at-bats and then have consecutive multi-homer games.
Wow. Well, maybe he's found his stroke now. Maybe. It's time.
Hope his maybe dad. Nice. Well, his dad. I heard his dad was at the game, so maybe that's giving him a little motivation.
Dad's got to go all the time now.
Sure. That's all I got. That's what's trending at 10. Thank you.
Last one before we go. We have to, it's kind of related. It is related. Husker basketball. If you haven't got a chance to watch the Olympics, this 3-versus-3 competition that you're watching, it's kind of fun to watch. But the one Tominaga last night hit the game winner to take Team Japan into the quarters. By the way.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one thing the kid can do, he can absolutely stroke the three. That was a fun deal to see his reaction after hitting that three and getting them into the quarters. It'll be something to watch.
Is the U.S. men's 3x3 team just non-existent? Are they not good? I haven't heard anything about them.
I've heard nothing about them. I mean, if they have one, not sure.
Weird. Yeah, I saw the women's team. They lost. For the first time, I think, yesterday. So
weren't they undefeated going into that, right? They were undefeated. Yeah. Yep. But I think they're still going to be probably playing in the advancing in some gold medal type thing because they're really good. They are really good. So,
dude, watching men's volleyball, dude, if one of those balls hit me in the head, I think I'd die.
Oh, they absolutely missile the ball, don't they?
It would kill me.
It's incredible. It's incredible. They play way above the net, but... Again, watch women's volleyball, too, because they play above the net. Man, they got some dynamic ladies for USA women's volleyball, man. So, all right, listen to this. Let's take a break. We come back. We'll dazzle you with Brian Munson, HuskerOnline.com.